It's not usually a great idea to start a sermon with a question. But today's celebration of Christ the King begs us to do just that. Question? What picture in your mind does the word King evoke? Do we really picture Christ as King? It's a different picture for us than for the Jews of Jesus' time or for the early Christians. Our understanding of kingship today tends to be romanticized, as in Prince William and Kate. We're often fascinated with English royalty, although in 1776, our ancestors fought for independence from England. Kingship, in general, doesn't really mean much to us anymore. Yet the feast of Christ the King is shared with other Christian faith groups. For example, Roman Catholic Church, United Church of Christ, Methodists, Presbyterians, and Lutheran, to name several. So there's something about seeing Christ as King that's important to Christians today. So what exactly do we do with the celebration of Christ the King? Why do we read of Jesus' crucifixion when we're getting ready to prepare for his birth next month? The answer has to do with a basic theme, not only from today, but also from last week. It has to do with faithfulness and how we act as people of God. Today, for Jeremiah, God is rebuking the shepherds of Israel, like the false prophets of last week, who lived evil lives by leading others away from God. The shepherds, that is, the religious leaders and the evil kings of Jeremiah's time, were not attending to their sheep, to the flock of the God of Israel. God says, quote, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter. Woe to those who are unfaithful." God promises to raise up a king who is wise and just and righteous. But this is another image kind of strange to us, because we don't see many shepherds today, and we've already said the image of a king is pretty foreign to us. But we do understand today that our church relies on people who are faithful. This is how Israel, after all, got its first two kings. They were raised up from among the people, raised up because they were faithful, living a life of obedience to God. One of these, you remember, is David, was the baby of his family and had to be called in from the field to be anointed king. The prophet Jeremiah expressed people's hope for the end of their exile in Babylon and for a new just leader. Now, when we look back as New Testament Christians, we can see the coming of Christ in Jeremiah's words. We see Christ as a king of peace and the redeemer of God's people. Now Paul takes up the image of the king and expands the picture of Christ not only as king of today's world and of that world, but as the leader of all creation. Now, all creation. Now, in his letter to Colossians we heard today, Paul is quoting an ancient hymn of praise. What does this hymn say? But Jesus is called the image of God, who is the head of the church. In him all fullness of God is pleased to dwell. Yet, Jesus was born into a poor family. Riches and social position don't count in this kind of kingship. The last verse of the epistle gives a hint as to why our gospel describing the crucifixion is used, after all our talk about the power and dominion of the king. This is, quote, "Through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, making peace through the blood of the cross." This adds a new dimension to our understanding of faithfulness and kingship. The kingship of Jesus is much different than a worldly kingship. When we celebrate Christ the King, we're calling on the King, who is a redeemer, a reconciler, and the servant. Not a dominating king, but a king who shows us how to live as people of God in the kingdom of God. A king who has reconciled us to God, calls us to make peace. Yet we celebrate this kingship with the gospel passage on the crucifixion. Despite all I've said, it still seems strange, doesn't it? It would be strange if crucifixion were the end of the story, but we know it isn't. Crucifixion was followed by the resurrection, to our great hope found in the resurrection in Christ. We see not only a king who suffers and dies to reconcile us to God, but a king who rises again. That hope is the beginning and great power of our Christian story. Our hope touches on another important part of this gospel. Jesus didn't just suffer and die for me, he did it for all of us. He lived out his kingdom within the community. We are all loved by God and all forgiven by God within our community. We are part of the people of God that includes the past, the present, and the future. Aren't we linked in a way with the good thief in today's gospel, as well as with countless others who were faithful? We're also linked with each other. But don't forget, we're also linked with the bad thief and those who crucify Christ and those who persecute and mislead God's people today. With those much like us and those not like us. We're all part of God's people, including the unfaithful. So what are we to do? Sometimes we have to call each other to repentance and have to forgive others. Sometimes we need forgiveness. We need to repent. But we all alike need God's mercy, need the kingdom where Christ is king, where God made peace through the blood of the cross. Christ of his kingdom is the cross. As an old gospel chorus said, if you can't bear the cross, you can't wear the crown. If you can't bear the cross, then you can't wear the crown. The good news is that Jesus has already borne the cross and invites us to share in his kingdom. That's the invitation responded to in our baptism. Our baptism, which is our pledge of allegiance to his kingdom. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture and citizens of his kingdom. Thanks be to God. Amen.